The Steam Controller is here, and it's great if you only play PC games on Steam. Plus, Nintendo is increasing the price of the Switch 2 due to the AI infrastructure rollout. Tonight is May 10th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
What's hogwash is that little skip in the intro. I'm going to leave it in. Sorry, podcast audience. You've only heard that intro for like 15 years, something like that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an Earthbound Day edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Earthbound Day, welcome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here. I know it's Sunday night. Other things could be going on your own Earthbound Day. But we do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I will be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But we are a podcast feed. I actually am getting the podcast feed back to normal. It took a bit to get some episodes up, but we're going to be back. By the time you hear this, we'll be back on schedule, and everything's going to be good. But you can also find us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord is where you can get the invite to get into there and talk back on previous things, even talk about things that you maybe want to hear on the next edition of the podcast. So thank you so much for being here. And yes, this is Earthbound Day. That's what I call it. If you still have your Earthbound, I hope that you spent time with them. If you don't have an Earthbound, or if you no longer really have a good relationship with your Earthbound, I hope that there was something about this day that could bring you some peace. And I will leave it at that. So happy Earthbound Day! And if you are an Earthbound, happy day to you. And for those who don't get the joke, Earthbound is the American name for the game series Mother. So you can get the... I'm trying to be cheeky and everything. All right. So let's get right into the show. And I'm going to talk about what I was able to get. Now, I listened to last week's show that I did. And I was like, I'm getting this. And then it wound up actually being very difficult for a lot of people to get it. I got lucky. I am talking about the Steam Controller. And yes, I was actually able to purchase the Steam Controller on Valve's app at 12:58 p.m. It went up 2 minutes early. I didn't get as many yellow bars as other people did. I did a little bit, but once I unchecked I was using Steam wallet funds, and I unchecked the save this to my wallet, and then it went through. So, I was able to get it, and it shipped, and it got here yesterday, Saturday, when I had a whole bunch of things that I was doing. So I finally opened it up at 11:30 p.m. last night. So have I done a lot of stuff with the Steam Controller? No. But do I have it here? Yes, I do. And I almost dropped it. And there it is. Here's the Steam Controller. I do have the Steam Controller here. And it's kind of hard to review a controller because it's does it have buttons? Yes. Can you really hear it? Not really. They're good buttons. The thumbsticks feel good. The track pads are in a very good position. Now, one of the things that was brought up last week was, it looks like it's the size of the Xbox Duke controller. So let's find out, shall we? I actually haven't actually done this yet. I brought up my old Xbox Duke controller, which is the big controller from the original Xbox that launched with it. So I have the Duke controller that I got. This is from the original Xbox. I have not held the Steam controller up to it yet. So let's see how it is and how big it is. So, yeah, they are about the same size. The Steam controller is actually a little bit shorter. I am holding them side by side. So the Steam controller is just a tiny bit shorter. And in terms of width, they are about the same width. So it is a chunky controller. The Duke controller is a little bit wider as well, I want to say. Or like from top to bottom. Like I'm now holding them like where the buttons are facing upward. But yeah, so it is about, you know, it does kind of feel the same as, you know, as a Duke controller. So it's got kind of those, it's a little, actually, now that I'm kind of holding them like you normally would, the Steam controller is a little bit smaller than the Duke controller. But not by much. Like, it is, it's definitely not as fat around your second, third, and fourth fingers. It is definitely not as fat as that as on the Steam controller. The Duke controller is definitely larger on your second, third, and fourth fingers. So yes, the ergonomics are way better, and you have the buttons, the two buttons on the back. So it feels better. Like I can actually use this longer than I could probably use the Duke, even though the Duke really didn't upset me all that much. I was good with it. So that's the thing on that. There is the puck. I already have the puck plugged in, so I'm not going to pull it out much further. But one thing I know Pod Culture was saying, asking earlier or last week is, you know, he didn't like charging for the puck, using the puck for charging, which is kind of weird because it's really super simple because it's just magnets and, you know, it's actually super simple to do it. But I completely understand. But the USB-C cable here is detachable. So you just detach the USB-C cable here on the back of the puck, and there is a USB-C port at the top of the controller like there is with just most every controller right now, and you can charge it that way. So you don't have to use the puck to charge it, but it's super convenient. I don't know why you wouldn't, but maybe, you know, desk space or something. It comes with a pretty long cable. I've got it routed behind my desk, which is why I can't really pull it up much further. I have not been able to play with the gyro functionality yet. I have played several games that actually have just a regular controller layout. You know, I played my Pinball FX and played it with this and, you know, and used the, thumbsticks for the, for like mouse movement and mouse scrolling and stuff like that. And that is where I learned. That is where I learned the biggest issue I have with the Steam controller. And it's like, I wanted this to be my new controller for PC gaming, and it was going to be my controller. Like, I was going to get used to it and use it for the Steam machine. And, you know, eventually I'm going to get a Steam Deck whenever, you know, the AI infrastructure rollout's done. But the thing is, this is the Steam controller. It is not a PC gaming controller. And what I mean by that is that you can only use it in Steam. It is not a recognized controller in Windows. It reads as a keyboard and mouse in Windows. And you can actually use the trackpad as a mouse and the buttons as clicking, but it does not use X input or D input, which is the generic gaming interface that PCs use. And Sturlock says that'll be hacked soon enough. It kind of already has, but it's in its infancy right now, and it doesn't work all the time. The main thing is, like, if you still have Xbox Game Pass, or you have titles on Xbox Play Anywhere, you can't use that on it. If you have Xbox Game Pass and Forza Horizon 6 coming out next week, you cannot use the Steam controller on Forza Horizon 6. If you buy Forza Horizon 6 from Steam, you'll be able to use it. Now, the workaround for a lot of things is you can add the game as a non-Steam game into Steam. So if you bought something from itch.io or GOG or Epic Game Store, you can add it as a game in Steam, and Steam will use Steam input because this is a Steam input device, not an X input or a D input device. It's a Steam input device. And you can add it to Steam, and then you would be able to use it. You wouldn't get all the bells and whistles, possibly, but you'd be able to use it. And as General Matt asks, wonder if that's by design or if it's something they intend to patch in later. I am going to go out on a limb and say it is absolutely by design. It keeps you in the Steam ecosystem. It kind of forces you to buy Steam games if you want to use it. Now, you notice earlier I said itch.io, GOG, Epic Game Store. I did not say Xbox because you cannot, because of the security that Microsoft has put around their the games for Windows, Xbox, whatever you want to call the PC games that are gotten from the Xbox Store or like Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Play Anywhere, you cannot add them to Steam. The Steam cannot put the hooks that it needs to put in for them to be playable through Steam. You can do it from games that are all from like itch.io, or if you downloaded something, you can. But you can't just load the game from your desktop or from whatever other launcher you're using. You can't just do that and use the Steam controller. It won't work. It literally won't work. So if you do play games from other storefronts, from other launchers, you best be keeping your Xbox controller or your 8-bit do controller or whatever you've got that you use. You better keep that thing around because those will work. Those are X input devices and they'll work. But if all your games are on Steam, if Steam is your only platform, then this is going to be a great option for you. There are so many customizations out there for it. For just about every game. It is a little wonky. I did try playing the one game that doesn't have controller support that I tried to play with it is Retro Rewind, which is the Blockbuster Video simulator. And I got one of the community keybinds for it, controller binds for it. And it is kind of wonky to play because I don't have a Steam Deck, I haven't actually been able to go through this. So people who've had a Steam Deck, they're like, yeah, we could have told you this 3 years ago. You're learning what we learned when the Steam Deck came out. And I understand. But the game was not created with controllers in mind, so the buttons that you would think you would use are not what you would use because they mapped something else to that button. It's not context-aware in the game, which if you were actually designing a game and having a real interface for the controller, and you knew you were doing the controller, you would do things differently. But the Steam controller, while you can set like short press and long press on every button, so like short press can do this and long press can do a different key, it still is kind of weird to play the game. Like, you know, you're doing a lot of, like in Retro Rewind, in the one that I was using, it was like to pick something up, you don't hit the A button, which is what you would do if you were like actually making a controller interface. You were doing the right trigger, and then to put something back was the left trigger. And, you know, the A button was used for something else. It was one of the other keys. I think it was the use key, which is different. It's the E key, which is, you know, on a keyboard. And to pick things up, you use the left mouse button, which was mapped to something different. And, you know, if you were designing it with a controller in mind, you would actually have both of those things and it would be context aware and A would be something different. Can't do that with a key binding like this. So, and S. Jeremy Matt says, I wonder how it works with Civilization. I feel the previous Steam controller worked well with Civ for what it was. And yes, I have not tried it. I don't have the latest Civ. I have the previous Civ, but I also know, like, at least the previous Civ, and they have released it for consoles. Like, they have made Civilization for consoles. now, like the actual 2K actually has. So, you know, that may help a little bit. And I don't know if they ever brought that support over to the PC port, but I know, like, you can get the latest Civilization on Switch, even. Switch 2. And yes, you can use the mouse, but you don't have to. So I think something like that. Now, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 might work really well with it. I mean, I know that's also got a controller interface, but having the extra four buttons on the back would probably also be very good. You can put other things on there. So that's where, like, you know, it excels, but then you still run into, well, it's still kind of awkward to play because this is not where a designer would put that button. And this is not how someone who was actually making the game would make this work, but this is what we have to do because they made it for mouse and keyboard, and it works great for mouse and keyboard, and it's really hard to translate that to a controller when you have less inputs than you do on a keyboard. So that's up to the developer as well. You know, hopefully Retro Rewind gets a, you know, an actual, like, controller support, and then you won't need all those mappings, and then you can just add different macros or buttons to the bottom stuff, but you could still use the generic mapping. But not being able to use it in anything that's not in Steam is kind of, it can be a deal breaker for a lot of people. Especially if you've still got that Game Pass subscription, you're going to want to play those PC Game Pass games. Fortnite. You know, if you got Fortnite through Epic, you might, I don't know if you can. I don't know how well Epic plays well with the Steam, adding a non-Steam game. But it's great for Steam because it keeps you on their system. They're able to track what you're doing. Because if you don't think they don't track when you open up a non-Steam game and what game it is, I got a bridge to sell you. So it's great in the Steam ecosystem. I'm glad I have it. I am going to use it on the Steam games. I've got to keep other controllers for other things. And, you know, I'm in a fortunate enough position that I can do that. But this is not going to be your every controller for PC. I don't think it ever will be. And, you know, the community, I'm sure, is going to come up with a way to hack it and translate Steam input into X input so you can actually use this. And this is also just a Windows thing. ZenMonkey11 asks, why did they add those square button things? And what I am assuming you were talking about is there are four buttons on the back of the controller underneath your second and third fingers. And they are like L4, L5, R4, R5, respectively. So I think those are what you're asking about. And, if not, let me know in chat. Because there are also square things on the front. So let me answer both questions. Okay, so you mean the front. So, but anyway, I'm going to ask the back. So because the main thing the Steam controller is supposed to do is to translate translate keyboard and mouse to a controller, you do sometimes need some extra buttons so you can put other things on here. And also you can, like, hold one down and it will change things on other thing. So it's a way to get added buttons. So the front, though, these aren't buttons. On the front, on the bottom, there are two trackpads. So these are, you run your thumb around it, and it acts as a mouse. Either one can act as a mouse or a scroll wheel. And so it gives you a little bit more precision if you want it. And then doing, you know, so like for first person shooters, but it also allows you to control the mouse in certain games, just by doing this instead of having to use your, the thumbsticks to control the mouse. So it just gives you an extra way of doing that. And you can, they're not buttons, but they do detect taps. So you can actually tap them and it does a click. So, that's what they are for. They are the same trackpads that are on the Steam Deck. So it's literally the same thing on those. They did these with the first Steam controller, but they were huge. They were all on the top is where they had the trackpads on the first Steam controller. And so having it as these smaller ones really work a lot better for people. And because they were also having those, like, the ones on the original first Steam controller were, like, replacing the thumbsticks, and people didn't like that. And Pod Culture says, I feel like the base of my thumbs would trigger those trackpads. You're actually correct, because it did happen to me when I was playing Pinball FX. And, you know, with pinball effects and pinball games, you're I'm mostly using the L2, R2. I'm mostly using the triggers. But to launch the ball, you use the right thumbstick to do it. And every once in a while, I would hit the, I would feel the vibration, because it actually vibrates whenever you're actually thumbing over one of the trackpads. So you actually know it's actually doing something. And it would show pop up to the back of the screen, because that's what it does when you do that. So it does happen. But in the Steam controller configuration for the game, I'm pretty sure you can turn these off. So they do nothing when you're in the game. So if it is a problem in a specific game and you don't need the trackpads, you can turn them off for that specific game. You can create a custom layout based on whatever you've got, and you can turn them off. So, valid concern. It is not the perfect controller for everybody. S. Jared and Matt asks, so is it a $100 experience, at least at this moment? I imagine we won't see its full potential until we see how it works with the Steam Frame. The Steam Frame is going to have its own controllers. So it really doesn't matter about the Steam Frame. This is more about the Steam Machine, I'm going to guess, because the Steam Frame is the VR headset. The Steam Machine will also come with one of these controllers. And I think that's when we're going to see, like, when we are kind of stuck to having to use it. And seeing what people do with it, because right now we're all using Steam Deck profiles. People have made things for the Steam Deck for the controller, and not controller profiles with the Steam Deck in mind, and not necessarily this controller. So, so SJ Matt says, no, I thought it was the controller, the frame. No, the Steam Frame has the two controllers. They still have like the trackpad on them. It is a lot like this, but it is still very much two wands that you hold in your hand. This is the controller for the Steam Machine that's going to go in my living room whenever the AI infrastructure rollout ends. All right. So now, is it a $100 experience? Well, controllers are $80. So if I did a lot more gaming on Steam, which I probably will eventually, this is going to be great. And yes, I do believe it brings in enough stuff that is $100 worthy. And because, like, you know, my Switch 2 Pro controller was $80. And, you know, the Xbox Elite controllers are more than that. And I think the Sony's got a Elite controller that's more than that. So I think it is. I think it's right there in between. It offers more than just a generic $80 controller, which, yes, I know it's $80. They're $80. But, you know, it doesn't add, can't use it everywhere, which is why I'm glad it's not $130, $140. You know, only being able to use it in Steam to me is a big drawback, but for a lot of people, that's not a problem at all. So if you want one of these, what I will tell you is that scalpers got a lot of the first ones, and it sold out in like 20 minutes, and then eBay lit up with $300 listings that all got sold. Like, people bought them for $300. So the scalpers were right. It you know, for a lot of people did think it was a $200 to $300 experience. You know, they thought that $100 was too cheap, because they were more than willing to go to eBay and pay $300 for one. But now it's going to be a little bit harder for scalpers to do it. Not impossible. It's just a roadblock. And I hope that they do this with the Steam Machine and the Steam Frame as well in the future. Video Games Chronicle reports that Valve's announced that it's implementing a reservation queue for Steam controllers to handle stock shortages. The controller went on sale on Valve's storefront on Monday, but demand caused site issues, with numerous players reporting error messages. Within around 30 minutes, the controller started selling out in some regions and is currently sold out in every major market, with scalpers then listing it on sites like eBay for up to 3 times the price. Valve announced that starting Friday, May 8th, which is 2 days ago, users can add themselves to a reservation queue for Steam controllers and will be given a 72-hour window to buy their controller once it's their turn in the queue. Valve said in a message to users, quote, Steam controller launched on May 4th, and while we were happy to see such a high level of interest, the experience for a lot of you who was trying to buy it was incredibly frustrating. We plan to continue replenishing stock as we get more in, but in the meantime, wanted to share changes we're making to improve the purchase experience and to limit reseller activity. Beginning May 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific, we are opening a reservation queue for Steam Controller. Once you reserve, your place in line will be saved. When we go back in stock, order emails will be sent in the same order that reservations were made, unquote. You can only get one Steam Controller per user. I could have bought two, but I only bought one. Once an order email is received, users have 72 hours to make a purchase. Users who were already able to buy a Steam Controller will not be able to reserve a second one. So I will not be able to get a second one with this. You also must have an account that is in good standing on Steam and must have made a purchase on Steam before April 27th, 2026. Zemmog11 asks the million-dollar question, why didn't they do that from the beginning like they did with the Steam Deck? And I want to believe that maybe somebody there didn't think the controller would be this popular. Because it is a $100 controller that is more expensive than the competition and only works in Steam. And they probably didn't think that there was going to be this much demand for it. They thought there was going to be demand. They didn't think there was going to be this much demand for it. So chalk it up maybe to them not reading the tea leaves correctly. Let's talk about what you might be spending your money on if you haven't got one yet. Because, you know, there's a new Star Fox. It's like the old Star Fox. And everybody's like, why doesn't Nintendo do anything new? And why did Nintendo do so many things new with Mario Kart? They shouldn't have done that. So, how about Nintendo? What are they going to be doing? Video Games Chronicle reports that Nintendo has confirmed that it's raising the price of the Nintendo Switch 2 consoles in the United States, Europe, Canada, and Japan. From September 1st, 2026, the price of Switch 2 consoles in the U.S. will increase by $50 to $499.99, so it's going up to $500. In Europe, it's going to increase by 30 euros to 500 euros. In Canada, the console will increase by $50 Canadian up to $679.99, so $680. Company said, quote, in light of changes in market conditions and after considering the global business outlook, Nintendo will revise the manufacturer's suggested retail price of Nintendo Switch 2 system and Nintendo Switch systems. We sincerely apologize for the impact these price revisions may have had on our consumers and other stakeholders, and we deeply appreciate your understanding, unquote. Price revisions take place on May 25th in Japan. The Japan-only region lock Switch 2 will increase to almost 60,000 yen, the Switch OLED up to 48,000 yen, and the Switch Lite to about 30,000 yen, and the standard Switch up to about 44,000 yen. It is also increasing the price of Nintendo Switch Online subscriptions in Japan to match other regions. I know what a lot of people are going to say, what a lot of people are saying about this, is that, wow, I remember back when you know, consoles got cheaper the longer they were on the shelves. You're right, I remember those too. And all the companies now, they're just greedy. All they want is money. Well, they're a corporation, yes. You also only want money. I assume that's why you work, is to get money, right? That doesn't make you greedy. But here's the thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, this has absolutely nothing to do with any administration's tariffs. So we're not going to use that. We're not going to talk about that because that has no bearing on this at all. What does have a bearing on this is the AI infrastructure rollout. So Nintendo does not make every single part of the Switch 2. They assemble it, but they are not literally building the RAM that goes into it. They are not literally making the solid state drive that is inside of it. They don't make that stuff. They buy those parts from other vendors. And those other vendors are raising the price, not because they are greedy, but because the market is telling them how much this is worth. And it's because the AI companies that are doing their rollout of their AI infrastructure and adding more data centers to run more agentic workflows have stated that the price of RAM is way higher than what we've been paying. Nintendo, yeah, you can say that Nintendo is greedy because they don't want to take a loss on consoles. They can't take a loss on every console made because it's gotten a lot more expensive to manufacture the console because the people that make the components for them have realized we can charge it. It's all material shortage. Questbush says, my guess is their allocated stock and whatever contracts they had for X number of parts under the old price point has ended, and going forward, they have no choice but to pay the new cost, and that's what it is. That's why AI companies have, like, gotten the stock, and they're like, we are going to be paying, we've got a contract through, like, 2029. You're going to be making all this RAM for us through 2029. And so they're like, okay, well, we now can't make as much RAM for other people because we got this big contract through 2029. And Nintendo does the same thing, but they don't have the ability, as much as we say, oh, Nintendo's a big company, they're really not in the grand scheme of things in tech. And they don't have the pull to say, no, we want your entire stock. They don't have the ability to do that. Other companies do. S. General Man says, electronics are going to get the lobster treatment on menus where it says see market price. Yes. And some people in chat are like, no, the tariffs are still a problem. No, they're not. Not for this. If it was just the tariffs, it wouldn't be in Europe and Canada and Japan as well. Like, it wouldn't be in Japan. They wouldn't be raising the price in Japan because of U.S. tariffs. They just wouldn't. That's not what this one is about. It is literally about material shortage. It's a component shortage. We're all feeling it. Like, you go look up, if you bought RAM last year, go look up and see how much that RAM costs today, and it'll be like triple what it was. Nintendo is not immune from that. Just because they're Nintendo doesn't mean they get to pay the prices that they paid last year for stuff, because no company is going to sell it to them because somebody else is willing to buy it at that 3x inflated price. How about some good news about the AI infrastructure rollout, or something it's not rolling out to? Polygon reports that Microsoft is halting the development of its AI chatbot Copilot for Xbox consoles, according to recently appointed CEO Asha Sharma. The move comes as part of a continued business shift for Xbox under Sharma's leadership, which looks to retire features that don't align with where we are headed. The announcement came in a day of shakeups for the Xbox brand. Earlier in the day, IGN reported on an internal leadership shift that moves four members of Microsoft's core AI team to Xbox. A few hours later, Sharma shared another XPaint on her X account saying that Microsoft is halting its plans to integrate Copilot into Xbox. She said, quote, Xbox needs to move faster, deepen our connection with the community, and address friction for both players and developers. Today, we promoted leaders who help build Xbox while also bringing in new voices to help push us forward. This balance is important as we get to the business of back on track. As part of this shift, you'll see us begin to retire features that don't align with where we are headed. We will begin winding down Copilot on mobile and will stop development of Copilot on console. Unquote. So Gaming Copilot was going to bring AI integration to Xbox consoles and the Xbox mobile app. So it was a gaming sidekick that could essentially act as an on-demand guide system. So in theory, players could use it to get tips on how to beat a boss in a game, get game recommendations based on their play history, and more. So while it was in beta for the Xbox gaming app, Windows 11 devices, and the ROG Xbox Ally, it had not yet rolled out to consoles, and now it won't. This kind of blows, like, a lot of the things we were worried about when Asha Sharma was named CEO, because she came from Core AI. She was one of the leaders at Core AI, was that she was going to bring all that in, and now she's, like, taking it back. And as Sharon Amat says, I have a cynical view on this. I still think AI features are coming. They're just pulling it because it's unpopular now. And probably, yeah. I can see that. Because they said that they were going to do this, like, always online thing, and they pulled it back because it was unpopular. And guess what? You try to use your Xbox offline now in 2026. You try to use your PlayStation offline in 2026, for that matter. So, you know, so she's doing the thing. She's trying to get people back, because we talked about this last week, where maybe it's too late, because there are people that are like, you could do everything that I want and I'm still not coming back. You can drop the price of Game Pass to what it was before you raised it, and I'm not coming back. One person in our chat room said it needed to actually be $5 cheaper than it was before they raised it, before they would consider coming back. So Microsoft could do everything and say everything, but there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to care. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Xbox gets out of this, because we're just very polarized in general about a lot of things. And we like to hold grudges for a long time. especially now in this internet age. So we'll see. I am glad that they're not doing AI stuff there. There are a lot of things that neural networks and learning models can do that are great. Unfortunately, the current tech landscape wants nothing to do with those great ideas and the great uses for it, and they want to push the bad ideas and say it's inevitable. And I'm not going to get on any bigger soapbox on this. I've been on a big soapbox for this just enough. So normally I would take a music break, but there was somebody who earlier said that they hoped I was taking calls. They really wanted to call in. So I'm not going to do the music break. It was going to be something from Earthbound because, you know, get it, Earthbound mother. But I would much rather hear from somebody here that has been a part of the network, been a part of the Voice Geeks network. I'm going to bring him in. We're gonna bring it in and hope that this works. Hopefully this person's gonna be ready. I hope you're listening, and I hope you know that it's about to happen. So I'm gonna bring somebody in here, and Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hello, this is Stirlock.
Stirlock, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to listen to the show again for a bit.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
So I had this big spiel planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized the thing that I was referencing, which is a direct reference to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I realized it was from the wrong game in the series.
Okay.
But I think this is still really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I was going to make this whole big spiel about, hey, what if I told you I can hear Baba Yetu in its proper context.
All right.
And I'm not talking about a YouTube video.
Okay.
Then I realized, oh, wait, Baba Yetu is from Civ 4.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually to do with Civ 5. But it's still awesome.
Yeah.
So, yes, we now, blind people, have access to Civ 5.
Awesome.
And yes, I know. It's a 15-year-old game. But
it's still a great 15-year-old game, though.
This is monumental.
Yeah.
Blind people have never had anything remotely close to this. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Yes, there have been blind games being made for, 20-plus years, but we've never, ever had anything close to what the Civilization series is.
Explain to me how this works.
So much so that most blind people, unless you're like super into math or whatever, or strategy board games, have never ever had experience with hex grids. So the mod dev literally put a section in the readme explaining how hex grids works. Because blind people have never really had to deal with those.
Yeah.
Mostly. Unless you're, like I said, you're into like super strategic games like Catan or whatever. So basically how it works is it's just interfacing with the screen reader. And what we do is it's all just interfacing with keyboard and the screen reader. So we have a lot of shortcut keys to give us info or to bring us to different like menus. So like if we want to like move to our next unit that hasn't acted yet, we can do that, et cetera, et cetera. If that makes sense. Stuff like that. I have not personally messed with the game just yet. I literally just installed the mod as I was listening to the show. But I was watching a buddy of mine play it this morning, and yep, I totally understand where the whole one more turn thing comes from. Like, I just watching it, I was like, this is cool. I was getting invested. I want to see what happens.
Yeah. So does it give you kind of an overview at the beginning, like a beginning of the term, like so you can kind of get a sense of what's going
on.
Yeah,
it'll read the alerts out.
Okay.
You know, it reads everything out.
Yeah.
So like if it tells you, oh, you have a new technology you can research. Oh, you have a unit that needs orders, you know, whatever. Yeah. We can get all that info.
Yeah.
That's all there.
And I think one of the things that I want to bring up that you would know, and anybody who's seen this would know, and it's kind of interesting because like I've watched, like I think you were streaming and one time, and you know we could actually hear what you were hearing.
Yes.
Is that, you know, those of us who are sighted have a thing we could speed read, but you speed listen. Like when this stuff is being said, like they're not speaking at the speed that you and I are speaking.
No,
it is
no.
Super quick.
Screen readers are very, yeah. And I'm not even the fastest screen reader listener.
Yeah.
I know people that have it at, you know, twice the speed that I do. So, you know.
It's something you train up to.
We take in information very quickly. Yes, yeah. you absolutely train up to it. Yes, you do.
Because I think
it's not just an instant thing.
Yeah, because I think like there was like you did, because you streamed on Twitch before, or I believe. And someone would type in chat, we would hear what you were hearing, and it was like, hi there, how you doing? And it's like, you know, it was something really quick like that. And so that's how you can get a lot of information in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there is something to be said of, you know, we can't speed read the way sighted people can.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah.
So that presents some challenges sometimes too.
Here's what I will also kind of for people who are sighted, based on kind of what I understand and what I've heard and what I've seen, is that one of the things that we can do to speed read is like there are sometimes we'll even see videos on Instagram that have like just one word on the screen at a time.
Yep.
And it will just continually go faster and faster and faster. And I actually watched one recently. They're like, yeah, if you can read this, and basically it flashes one word, and it's like, yeah, if you can read this, you're reading 900 words a minute. And I was actually able to read it. What we have to do because what it does is we can hear.
Well, you guys can skim your eyes too.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a thing we can do.
But. Yeah. That same skill that we're learning is the same as speed listening, because you may not understand every single word when it goes really fast, but you can still understand what it's saying, because you can hear like this word and this word and this word. And it's the same thing for speed reading at that speed. It's like, I see this word, this word, this word, this word. I am positive that the conjunction of the was in there and I just didn't see it. I blinked or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a skill that you work up, but a lot of people probably don't realize that with screen readers, because when we have screen readers, it's reading it at the speed that we would talk.
That we talk.
Yes.
That's usually when you're starting work, like when you're learning a screen reader.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
You are learning at speaking speed, which is usually about 50% speech rate in your chosen screen reader. And you work your way up.
Yeah.
Slowly over time. Like it took me a good, you know, 10 years to work my way up to where I am now.
Yeah.
So it takes a bit.
But that's also how you can get a lot of information in a short amount of time and not get too bored playing Civilization 5, which is what I was trying to get back to. Because that may be something people don't realize. They're like, man, there's a lot of information. How did they, you know, they're going to just sit there. And it's not as long as you think.
No. Well, and we don't have to listen to everything in sequence.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can hit shortcut keys to get to the information you want.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And that's very common in these accessibility mods. Mm. And that's another thing, too, I kind of want to get into just very briefly, is there are so many of these things that are coming out. Normally I would have, you know, called in to talk about all these things individually, but there are so many of them that I can't. Like, I've been playing Dragon Quest VII recently, and I'm most of the way through it, actually.
Yeah.
Been having a blast with it. You know, Oxygen Not Included has a mod from the same guy that did Civ 5, actually.
Yeah.
there's so many of these things. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, and it's all thanks to AI. Mm-hmm. It's all thanks to AI. And what I think is really awesome is that, so not to get too super political, mm-hmm. but the accessibility, the state of accessibility in mainstream gaming has been pretty pathetic as of late. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's sucked. It sucks. It's awful. So really what it kind of boils down to is we have these tools now, and blind people are basically saying, you know what? We're tired of waiting. We're gonna do this ourselves. We're gonna make this mm-hmm. work. And we are, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's revolutionary. Mm-hmm. In the gaming space, it's incredible. Holy crap! I mm-hmm. can't even express how amazing this is as a video game fan.
Yeah,
you know that is blind. Like, mm-hmm. and it's really cool to see just how many of us there actually are, because there's a Discord server that's mm-hmm. dedicated to it. Yeah. Would it be okay if I posted the link in chat to the mod?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll also put it in our Discord as well. I think you're in our Discord, but you can post it there too if you want.
Yeah. Helps if I'm on the channel.
And by the way, for those on the podcast, you can actually hear in the background just a little bit. You can hear the speed reader, and it's coming yep. through just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that is in chat while we are trying to copy that in is from HDI Andrew, who is an independent game developer that I've known for many
nice.
Years. And they have actually just released on, I believe they've re-released on Steam. It's an older game. It's a Machiavelli Princess Machiavelli. I got the name wrong because I don't have it in front of me. I'm doing it from the top of my head. I played the demo in Steam Next Fest, but it is a 4X strategy game. Okay. Machiavelli the Prince. And okay. so a 4X strategy game is kind of like Civilization. And yeah. He would like to have someone help make it more accessible.
Oh,
so
dude.
If he's a game, yeah. And so who would he get into contact
DM me,
with?
You could DM me on Discord, and I will send you a link to the server. It's called Accessibility Disco.
Okay.
So there's a funny story about how it got its name.
Yeah.
So that server started from, and this kind of started the whole AI. Accessibility modding revolution, as it were. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine started a mod for Disco Elysium.
Okay, yeah.
And so it started life as just a server for the Disco Elysium accessibility mm-hmm. mod. And so it was just Disco accessibility. Mm-hmm. And so it slowly kind of morphed into a hub for pretty much all accessibility modding mm-hmm. for blind people. So I kind of take pride in this. I was the one that kind of came up with, like, well, let's just call it Accessibility Disco.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, so they went with it. So
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So DM me on Discord, STIRLSCK, and I'll toss you a link.
All right. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling
man.
In and giving me the good news. It's always good to
Definitely.
Hear about that
I'm,
stuff.
I'm super stoked to check this out.
And it's always like the little bit of glimpses I get into some of this stuff, and like hearing the screen reading and all that stuff. It's always so fascinating and mm-hmm. stuff. So kudos to you and all the people that are actually doing this and you know, making it happen, because it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's an incredible community that we've fostered here. It's really cool.
Awesome. Well, I really do thank you for calling in. It's great to hear from you. I hope you have a wonderful
Definitely.
Rest of your evening.
You too.
All right. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network, here at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, is Orange Sound Radio, and I am trying to find... There it is. Orange Sound Radio 2DX, three people talking about games and other things in geek culture for much longer than I do. We like to check in with them to see what they're going to be talking about tonight. OLR, are you here?
I am. I'm sorry for the blanket. I'm a little cold.
But you're in California. It's supposed to be really warm there, right?
Well, actually, yeah, it is. It got close to 90, but our AC works very well right now. I would rather be cold and warm up than the alternative.
Same here. Accessibility in games is getting a lot better now. Like that call with Sturlock, I don't know if you were listening in on that.
I was.
Yeah, so that's... I love good news like that. I love hearing good things like that. I talk too much about the things that are sad and bad, and hearing something like that in Civ 5, with all that information now being accessible to a whole new group of players.
Yeah, Sturlock and I have been chatting quite a bit about like some of the tools that have been coming out, like playing through Final Fantasy games, but Civ is a big deal. I mean, just how massive that is. Yeah. And I'm really happy to hear it. At my job, one of the previous tasks that I did was work with a lot of our accessibility folks who would call in, like different musicians and whatnot. And I got pretty darn good with understanding screen readers enough that I can always go, oh, I know what that is. I even can figure out which voice you're using.
Yep.
but I was absolutely amazed. And even now, though, we still run into limitations, even though the accessibility is getting better and better. Mm-hmm. We still always are going to need feedback and more people to get involved and more testing, more testing. Don't resist, you know, asking somebody if they're interested in helping you test something out to make it better for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's a shame that, like, one of the first things that gets cut from, like, a development budget on especially a game is a lot of times the accessibility stuff.
That's so ridiculous.
It's one of the first. The second one is QA, for whatever reason. It's kind of sad. That's one of the first things to go, which is why it's such a big deal when a game keeps it in. And we have had some good, you know, some AAA games have really good accessibility options, but they are in the minority. Indie games, unfortunately, like, they may have a passion for it, but they also, you know, want to get their game out. And, you know, we'll put that in later. We'll make an update later. But that doesn't help now. And so, you know, that's when the community steps in and can do this. And that's why this is amazing.
We've been, you know, Dead by Daylight's my thing. And it took them like 9 years to, I'd say fewer than that. They took an element from the mobile version that's gone, that has a visual clue for deaf and hard of hearing. And they've just, though, this year implemented colorblind options.
Okay.
Now, I still don't know if that game is ever going to be able to be made friendly for our blind players, but Sturlock has played with me. And we've used audio clues in the game to make it better. And I was just thinking that even if you put in a more robust sound system, start with that. Start with the basics. Spatial audio, I would imagine, would be such a very big factor for anyone who has any vision issues. And it's something that was probably going to be in budget anyway. Just tweak that to start and build from there, you know? And spatial audio has made leaps and bounds.
Yes.
The technology is amazing.
Yeah, and even like also even in movies, and that's kind of how I know where it all comes from. And everybody's like, but you know, how does it work in the earphone, in headphones and stuff? And because they figured it all out. And the interesting thing about that, if you're still kind of stuck on like how you do audio in an old stereo world, where you're like, I've got my left channel and my right channel, and this is what this is. Mm-hmm. What a lot of them, especially like Dolby Atmos and like the Sony Spatial Audio, kind of does the same thing with different algorithms, but the same thing is that you don't actually say, oh, this is in the right speaker, this is in the left speaker, this is in the back speaker. It actually puts you like, it's like, here's where the listener is. And then this is where in 3D space the sound is coming from.
Exactly. I do a little bit of work with Atmos in some of my audio work. I'm actually working on a piece that uses the various channels, like a 7-channel setup, to direct the way that the music is going to build together. It's a lot of work. It's definitely on the back burner while I've got, you know, my surgery and stuff coming up. But I mean, this science is awesome. And with all of that, it's AI being used for good.
And the thing about Atmos that I was going to also mention, because I actually, because I am fortunate enough, I've had, you know, very good fortune in life. So I've got that, I've got a theater in my basement and that has a 7.1.2 Dolby Atmos system. And I had to configure, like, okay, how far away is each speaker from where, like, our center point in the room, right? And that was to be able to do that. But what's actually happened right now, and I just haven't gotten somebody to come out and fix it, is my center channel's gone.
Oh.
So, like, and it's, the like, literally the center front is gone. But it's Dolby Atmos. So all I did was I told the receiver, hey, I don't have that center channel. It recalculated everything, so it's a 6.1.2 setup without my center channel.
And wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so because it it says these are the speakers you have. We know where in 3D space the sound is coming from, so we're going to use the speakers you have. And so it hasn't been an issue that my center speaker hasn't been working. There's a wiring issue behind the wall, and I just need to get them to come out and look at it. I just haven't done that yet, and that's one of the kind of neat things. Whereas in the old days, if your left channel was out and it was a stereo system, you needed to get a new left speaker because it wasn't going to reroute things like that.
Exactly. Or get good with wiring, you know. We don't have our setup, you know, embedded like that except for two speakers. Oh, my God, I'm still blurry. We have a 5-channel setup, though, with a Bose system in front. And I think our back ones are also Bose, running through a Harman Kardon receiver. And we noticed, though, that when I got my recent model of Apple TV, how the sound quality just completely changed. And I can just see that, you know, I'm thinking, because I watch like some of the tech channels like Mr. Who's the Boss and stuff like that. And I can see just the future of this going into like a full, like, imagine Halo. I know I'm bringing that one as a speaker. A full traveling surround without having to use those individual speakers. I mean, I see that that's where it's coming. I see, I mean, it's honestly another step closer to the holodeck, as we say, because you're getting such an interactive sound that you're not going to be able really to distinguish where it's coming from there versus where in reality, unless you got really good hearing to tell the digital from the analog.
Which thankfully is not me, so it's all great. What else is going to be coming up on Orange Sound Radio 2DX tonight?
Oh, goodness. We got a few things. We have a site that is shutting down ahead of some legal crackdowns.
Okay.
We have something about a little furry guy in a spaceship. We have the amazing Kevin Smith. Not as a guest. I would, you know, give someone else's right arm for that. That would be awesome. And maybe even some Pokemans baseball.
All right. Orange Sounds Radio 2DX is coming up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So, yeah, that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It is Forza Horizon 6 week. I will hopefully also have played through mixtape before Forza Horizon 6 comes out. I'm the problem. I spent $120 on Forza Horizon 6, so I will get to play it 4 days early. I believe it's Friday, I believe, is the day that I'll get to start playing it. I do have a couple of colleagues that have already played it that are in the media podcasting space. So they started playing it last week. Not jealous at all. And happy Forza Horizon 6 week. Happy mixtape release day. Apparently that's a really good game. It's on Game Pass, but it is a very great callback to those who grew up in the 90s and listened to music a lot in the 90s. And there is no streamer mode because it would really damage the game if they had to replace the music, because the game is all about the music that is licensed, which means you can't put it up on YouTube. So you're going to actually have to experience it for yourself. I will be back next Sunday night all about Forza Horizon 6. So come join us there. We will be back next Sunday night. You can also find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf, and on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but maybe for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. We like to thank them. There was a hype train earlier, and wanted to thank everybody that was that's helped us. Keep things on. So Tiger Claw resubscribe, thank you so much. Fifth Dream resubscribe. Sean322 cheered 200 bits, saying whoop. Dark Titsia resubscribe, saying happy 64 months in a row. It's like Star Fox. Insert your favorite Nintendo 64 reference here, inside, like Star Fox or Quest 64. It's like Quest 64, you know, the best RPG ever released on the Nintendo 64. Also the only turn-based RPG released on the Nintendo 64, but still the best. Pod Culture resubscribe, thank you so much. SJR and Matt cheered 300 bits, and Dark Sakura resubscribed, thank you so much. Checking something else to see if I had missed anything else. I don't think I did. So Superman 64 is another reference you can make. Yes, absolutely. All right, I'm going to stop making Nintendo 64 references. I'm gonna hit this button that's gonna play me out, and enjoy some games. Enjoy any game you can. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.